Thank you, Desmond. We live in a culture where the word deny, D-E-N-Y, is possibly the worst word you can say in any given circumstance. Want dessert? Don't deny yourself the joy. Want the day off? Don't deny yourself, even if you're supposed to be at work. Want that drink or that cigarette or that unhealthy relationship? Don't deny yourself. Want to drive down a one-way street or drive 85 miles an hour down Ashmont Street or ignore stop signs and traffic lights? Don't deny yourself. Who cares if it puts other people at risk? Who cares if it's the rules? Who cares? You should be able to have and do whatever you want to have, whatever you want to do, our society says. And if there's one area in the world, in our culture, where Christians, followers of Christ, can be countercultural, it is in the healthy habit of sacrifice, of self-denial. And the passage that Desmond read for us today talks about that. Matthew 6, later on, Matthew 6, 24, Jesus tells his disciple, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny, Matthew 16, sorry, 24. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny himself and take up their cross and follow me. Denying ourselves seems to be what Christ would have for us to do. And one of the ways of denying ourselves, of sacrificing, is the healthy habit of fasting. Now, the first thing I want to say in regards to this passage that's before us is that fasting is not the only means of sacrifice, but it is a means of sacrifice. And I want to argue that it is probably the simplest form of self-sacrifice. Fasting is the simplest form of self-sacrifice. Fasting is a common practice in the Old Testament. Now, there was one instituted fast among the people of Israel. We find that in Leviticus 23, 26 to 32. It was the fasting on the Day of Atonement, the one day a year where God says you are to come together and you are to fast and you are to repent of your sins. And the scapegoat was offered and the people's sins were forgiven. There are other fasts in the Old Testament, numerous accounts of fasting as a sign of repentance, as a sign of gaining knowledge, as a sign of following God and desiring His countenance. Fasting is also practiced in the New Testament, Matthew 9, 14. John the Baptist's disciples come up to Jesus and say, we follow John the Baptist and he tells us to fast regularly and you never tell your disciples to fast at all. What's the story? So they were fasting. But they were fasting in an Old Testament adherence means. Acts 13:2, which I have here on the screen. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. that the early church used fasting as a means of gaining spiritual wisdom or hearing from God. But by the time the New Testament comes around, fasting is abused. Fasting becomes a sign not of repentance, not a sign of seeking God's direction, but a sign of piety or religiousness. And Jesus shares the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. And one of the things that the Pharisee, the religious leader, says is, I fast 3 times a week, which was more than the standard. The fasting in the Old Testament sort of fell into a twice a week, Monday and Thursday regimen. They were abusing and using it as a sign of righteousness, which it is not. Fasting, for all intents and purposes, is merely the abstaining or the eating sparingly of food. Biblical fasting is going without. Sometimes it's a complete fast, which means no food or water for a season of time. Sometimes it's a partial fast, like the Daniel fast in the book of Daniel, where he only ate vegetables. And sometimes it is a combination of those, that it's a liquid fast or a broth fast, things like that. But ultimately, it is a practice of self-denial. Simply going without, an act of will that says, I will deny myself my physical sustenance in order to draw our attention to God, who provides all things. The people of God have been sacrificing their needs for greater spiritual strength and faith for thousands of years. And it's a habit we, in one way or another, ought to embrace. My second point, in particular, as we turn to Matthew 6:16-18, is that Jesus teaches about self-sacrifice. That he teaches about fasting. And the first thing is that fasting is a practice for the followers of Jesus. Verse 16, when you fast. Jesus doesn't say if you fast, but when you fast. It is something that Jesus understood the people of God to be doing. Now, Jesus' teaching is that they're not doing it correctly, or they may be tempted to do it incorrectly. But Jesus' question is not, should we fast? But when we fast, how should we fast? Not so much should, but how should, is the question Jesus wants to talk about. But at the same time, don't get me wrong, Jesus does not institute a fast for his followers. There is nowhere in Scripture that says, you must fast. Jesus doesn't say, you must fast for the Day of Atonement. While Jesus says that when you fast, he doesn't say when you should fast. He doesn't command it. He recognizes that it is a personal discipline. And he is wanting to clarify the practice, not codify the practice. Ultimately, Christianity always includes sacrifice. It is a means of identifying with our Savior, who gave himself for us, not just went without food, although he did, as a precursor to his earthly ministry among his disciples, he spent 40 days in the desert without eating, even to the point where Satan tempted him to turn the stones into food. What Jesus teaches about fasting, what Jesus teaches about self-sacrifice, is that it's a practice for his disciples and it's grounded in devotion, not duty. Jesus teaches us how not to fast. When you fast, don't look somber, don't look sad, don't look sullen like the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their face to show that they are fasting. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. Don't be hypocritical. Don't be play acting. In particular, don't disfigure your face, which is a strange term which doesn't really mean disfigure. If you want to know what the word for that's here means, Jesus speaks the same exact word twice again in Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. When he says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal." Now, as I read that, I bet you're thinking that he did not mention the word disfigure. That's because the word that is used for disfigure in chapter 6, verse 16, is the word that's used as destroy in 19 and 20. And really, what it means is to make invisible or disappear. And what he's saying is the hypocrites make their face disappear, make their face invisible. Moth and rust make your treasures disappear. They don't destroy them. They do, but they create holes. Rust creates holes. Moths create holes. There's a part that's missing, invisible, that disappears. And what Jesus is saying here, the hypocrites put on so much dirt and ash and junk over them while they are fasting that you cannot recognize. They make their faces indistinguishable or invisible. You can't see their faces. Now, this is hyperbole. I'm sure that no one had such a cake of ash on their face that it was invisible. But what he's saying is they pump up the manifestation that they are fasting, that it's really the only thing you recognize. Why, he says, they have received their reward in full. Everybody that sees them knows that they are sacrificing. And that is not the way it ought to be. We are not to seek human approval for our sacrifice. Jesus, on the other hand, teaches us that when we fast, we're to act normally. When we sacrifice, we're to act normally. We're to comb our hair and wash our face and make ourselves presentable. Now, they didn't really have shampoo. They didn't have regular bathing. They didn't have a lot of things that we take for granted today. So if you wanted to keep your hair clean, you would anoint your head with oil. You would put oil in your hair. That way bugs don't stick to it, dirt doesn't stick to it. You would look clean. You would wash your face. And that's what Jesus is saying here. There should be no outward appearance that we are sacrificing. that we are fasting, that we are to anticipate not the recognition of human beings, but that we are to recognize or anticipate the recognition of our Father, who meets us in secret and rewards what's done in secret. That we are to remember our confidence that He forgives us and enables us to repent. We're to recognize that He gives us clarity and guidance for our directions. Can you hear the direction of the Lord? When you fast, just like when you give to the needy, or when you pray, which are also in Matthew 6, do it properly. There is a right way. When you fast, we say way more than that we can go without food for a while. We say that we are trusting in the one who is unseen. The last thing I want to mention is that we can demonstrate our trust in Christ through sacrifice. We can fast biblically. There are a number of options available to us. Like I said, there's regular fasts, abstaining from all food for a specific time. There's Daniel fasts, abstaining from certain foods for a time. There are non-food fasts, abstaining from technology or recreation for a time. We could have a screen fast. Anything on a screen we can do without for a day or a week or a month or a year. Could. We could go, if this is your thing, we could go on a golf fast or a baseball fast or a gym fast. I am personally currently on a gym fast. It's like 52 years and counting. See, that's just pride, and that's wrong. We can go without recreation. It's not just food, it is denying ourselves. Could go without a car for a week. We could go without, shelter for a week. There's certain things we need to maintain for public decorum and modesty, but there's a lot of things that we could just do without, whether it's food or fun. The essential truth is that we give up something that we need or we feel we need, and instead use that time to spend with God, to reflect upon God's provision, to reflect upon God's forgiveness, to reflect on God's direction. We can also sacrifice not just with fasting, but in many other ways. Through giving. Although giving, we were going to mention, we'll talk about that next week. Through missionary service, we could go to a foreign country. We could go into a different culture here in our own city. We can sacrifice through military service, willingly laying down our life for God and country. As we commemorate Memorial Day tomorrow, this weekend, we ought to reflect upon the healthy habit of sacrifice and how we can incorporate it into our lives. Our sermon in a sentence is this: We sacrifice to express our humility and God's sovereignty. We fast to express our humility. We cannot survive without God. We cannot last without God's provision. We sacrifice to express God's sovereignty. God, you are in all, through all, over all. And we cannot survive without you. We can start with fasting. Author Macrina Wiedeker wrote this: "Fasting makes me vulnerable and reminds me of my frailty. It reminds me to remember that if I am not fed, I will die. Standing before God hungry, I suddenly know who I am. I am one who is poor, called to be rich in a way that the world does not understand. I am one who is empty, called to be filled with the fullness of God. I am one who is hungry, called to taste all the goodness that can be mine in Christ." Sacrificing, fasting, any means of self-denial is not simply saying, I am going to choose to do without. That's the humility part. I am going to recognize my frailty, my humility, my weakness. But that's not it. That's not all. It is also to recognize God's sovereignty. That God is the one who gives to the poor, who feeds the hungry, who sustains the weak. And we can recognize that when we sacrifice. When we sacrifice, whether it's through fasting or otherwise, we confirm that we are fully reliant upon God and He is fully able to accomplish His will in our lives. So whether it's through fasting or serving in a foreign country, we are all called to the healthy habit of sacrifice. And we sacrifice to express our humility and God's sovereignty. Shall we pray?